Fat shaming a doctor. Yes, this still happens in the world and on the internet. Recently, I had a long interaction with a physician, a real one, who invented his own diet and decided that taking a GLP-1 like Zepbound was a crutch. And if only I ate his way, biology would apparently apologize and go home. Then another doctor, who calls himself the natural heart doctor, announced that I was getting a, quote, fat shot, unquote. And just to round things out, I was lectured by a gentleman who cited his training at the University of Altoona, which I believe is located somewhere in the Caribbean, possibly between a dive shop and a place that rents jet skis. These doctors all shared the same belief. GLP-1s are just appetite suppressants. Satiety could replace them. And if people just ate the right way, none of this would be necessary. Notice what they didn't acknowledge. They didn't acknowledge that obesity is a disease. They didn't acknowledge that the brain is responsible. They didn't acknowledge food noise. Today, we're going to make sense of the madness of food noise. I am your chief medical explanationist, Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is 4Q, 4Q University, where we bust a few myths, make sense of the madness, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. Let me tell you when I fully understood food noise. About 12 hours after my first injection of Zepbound. I was standing in my kitchen, waiting for baked salmon to finish cooking. Nothing dramatic, nothing emotional, and I noticed something strange. It was quiet. No running commentary. No internal negotiations. No planning dessert before dinner was done. Just silence. And I remember thinking, oh, this must be what people are trying to describe. Food noise is not hunger. Food noise is the persistent, intrusive thinking about food, rumination, preoccupation, cravings that occur independent of physiologic need. It means that when I would go on vacation, I would plan out Michelin-star restaurants, not sightseeing events. Now, you can be full and still be loud in your head. Ever been to a restaurant, had a meal completely full, and then the dessert tray comes, and you're thinking about it? That's food noise. And for years, patients had described this. Medicine nodded politely, and now we finally have a language for it, even a validated tool called the Food Noise Questionnaire that measures how often food thoughts occur, how hard they are to control, how distressing they are, and how much they interfere with life. This is not imaginary. It's measurable. And it explains why the, quote, just eat for satiety crowd just keeps missing the point. Now, inevitably, someone says, well, this is all because of ultra-processed food. After all, we want to find a reason and a villain in this. And here's where we need to be careful, because that statement is both correct and incomplete. Ultra-processed foods absolutely hijack reward circuitry. They are engineered combinations of refined carbohydrates, fat, salt, and flavor compounds designed to stimulate what we call the mesolimbic dopamine system. The same reward pathway involved in addiction. The same reward pathway that lights up when you have cocaine, when you pet a kitten, when you kiss a lover. UPFs, or ultra-processed food, increase cue reactivity. They amplify anticipation and they increase wanting, not liking. And yes, they can trigger overeating and reinforce food noise. This is well-established neuroscience. But this is where my University of Altoona colleague gets into trouble. Removing ultra-processed food does not magically restore normal appetite signaling, because once the circuitry is dysregulated, telling someone to just eat whole foods is like telling someone with tinnitus to just enjoy the silence. Which brings us to broccoli. Now let me be very clear. I do not like broccoli. Confessions of a fat doctor. If broccoli is air-fried to a near crispy state, borderline carbonized, I will tolerate it. That's our agreement. Me and broccoli. Now, I've eaten vegetables my entire life, primarily because my mother noticed that our cat would not eat them for me. That loophole closed early. So yes, I eat vegetables. No, they never fixed in my brain. Broccoli does slow digestion, fiber increases fullness, protein improves satiety, but broccoli does not quiet reward circuitry. Broccoli does not shut up the voice in your head at 10 p.m., because food noise does not live in the stomach. Food noise lives in the brain. Specifically, the interaction between the hypothalamic hunger signaling, the the hindbrain integration of gut cues, and the reward centers like the nucleus accumbens and ventral trigeminal area. GLP-1 receptor agonists work on all three. In the hypothalamus, they activate satiety-promoting neurons and suppress hunger-promoting ones, a two-handed maneuver that diet alone cannot replicate. In the brainstem, particularly in the nucleus tractus solteris, they integrate gut signals and reinforce fullness in a way that persists. And critically, and this is the part no diet guru wants to talk about, they dampen dopamine signaling in reward circuits. That's why food becomes less compelling. Not forbidden, not scary, just quieter. And that's why GLP-1 can have an effect on alcohol and tobacco. Now, I used to enjoy a glass of wine with dinner. Not excessively, just a part of the ritual. That appeal is gone. I don't crave it. I don't miss it. And when I do have a glass, I'm suddenly very picky, which led me to quit 5 wine clubs. 5. I gave wine away constantly now. And if I take a sip and think, I just put the glass down and get some iced tea. Now that's not discipline, and that's not moral growth. That is altered reward signaling. Alcohol, food, ultra-processed snack, they all run through the same circuitry. GLP-1s don't just reduce hunger. They reduce compulsion, which brings us back to the Mediterranean diet. I love the Mediterranean diet. I recommend it, I eat it, I cook it. But let's be honest, the Mediterranean diet does not cure food noise. It helps health, it improves outcomes, it supports longevity, but it does not normalize reward circuitry once it's dysregulated. And pretending otherwise is how we end up fat-shaming patients while congratulating ourselves. The Mediterranean diet works better once food noise is quiet. GLP-1s don't replace food. They remove interference. Once the noise is gone, people become more selective, not restrictive. I don't just eat things because they're there. I don't drink things because they're poured. And no, I still don't like broccoli or Brussels sprouts. But I eat them because I am absolutely convinced that if I didn't, my mother, Gloria, would come back from the grave, and the world does not need that force of nature returning. Better to deal with a Category 5 hurricane. So let's land this. Ultra-processed food worsens food noise, yes. But removing them does not fix a dysregulated brain. Satieties fill the stomach, GLP-1s quiet the brain. Obesity is a disease. GLP-1s are treatment. And anyone who says otherwise usually has a diet to sell, a degree from a suspicious latitude, or both. Please be sure to check out the blog associated with this at 4Q or yourdoctorsorders.com. This episode was researched and written by me, Dr. Terry Simpson, and while I am a board-certified physician, I am not your physician. This is for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're seeking to change your diet or go on a GLP-1, please see a board-certified physician and a registered dietitian, not a chiropractor or a functional medicine witch doctor. All things audio are done by our friends at Simpler Media and the pod god himself, Mr. Evo Terra. Okay, everybody, have a good week. Hey, Evo, do you think the University of Altoona has a neuroscience department, or is it just a smoothie bar with a syllabus?
Yeah, I don't know, but I do know that tuna wouldn't make very good medical professors, right?